He is the winner of the Legion of Honor in France, a country which adores him. With us is Jerry Lewis, winner of the Legion of Honor. That was March 12th. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, Jeff.
I can picture the ceremony. You standing there saying, oh, boy, give me that Legion of Honor. I mean,
Sure. You know better.
Did they expect anything like that? For you to come with two pencils in your mouth and say...
No, they know better. I have too high a regard for all of the protocol. Mm-hmm. I'm too mid-Victorian and old-fashioned. When I go to London, I'm obsessed with the modern buildings.
You didn't slice up anybody's dinner jacket or toss firecrackers or...
It crossed my mind.
It really did?
Yes. There was one point, there was really a snob that I would have loved to put a little tomato soup on his shirt.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same award that Napoleon has won, Jonas Salk, many, many great people from all over the world.
Albert Schweitzer.
How do they break
through? Louis Pasteur.
Minor leaders,
Emile
right?
Zola.
Never made comedy movies.
Charlie
right?
Chaplin.
Oh. Your idol.
Oh, yes.
How did they break the news to you that you had indeed won the most prestigious award this side of the Nobel Prize?
You receive a letter from the President of France indicating that you are being inducted into Légion d'honneur, Legion of Honor. And when you get that letter, you look around hoping no one is watching, and you go,
Is that what you did?
Just about.
And then you give an acceptance speech, right?
Yes.
In English or with French?
In English. They understand everything.
Uh-huh. But your French is understandable to them, sort of, right?
I put Z in everything. That jacket is beautiful, and they understand.
You have a new picture called Slapstick of Another Kind.
Right.
In which we get to see not the Jerry Lewis that we've seen over the years, when you play almost like yourself, almost like this, and you play the parents of the father with Madeline Kahn of two very bizarre children.
Yeah, I would say they were bizarre.
Yes. I think people from another planet, or they're 7 feet
they're
tall.
They're 7 feet 2 inches tall, and they talk to 2-inch Chinamen.
Right, and naturally you play that role as well. You play your son.
Right.
When you have a split screen and you're talking to someone and it's yourself who's playing the other role as well, what does that feel like when you have to talk absolutely nothing there on the other
side? It's very difficult, Jeff. That's one of the few technicalities of filmmaking that is difficult, because you're really playing to a stand, a light stand, or just an X mark on a prop. And you have to, it's easier when you're playing the straight role than it is when you're doing the comedy. Because doing comedy to a wall, getting nothing back, is very, very difficult.
Now, if I started doing comedy and you were sitting next to me and you thought it was not going right, you might lean over, perhaps, and squeeze my arm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but you don't do that in film. I would just cut it and say, let's talk.
Okay, I'm talking about primarily Milton Berle squeezing your arm.
That's on stage. Milton had a magnificent way of helping the performer. A lot of people misunderstood Milton and thought that it was selfish on his part. It was very selfless, because Milton knew somebody was nervous, and he would squeeze, and that would take their tempo down. And he would hold them back, because he's got a line that's going to feed them, or vice versa. He's the consummate professional, and he knows what he's doing. But most people misinterpreted it.
When you were about 5 or 6 years old, one very important week in your life, you saw Jolson, and you saw Milton Berle, and you never forgot it.
Never.
Changed your life in what way?
I think that I recognized the magnificence of perfection. I don't think I knew that at 5 years old, but I knew something had stirred my soul, and I saw the magnificence of perfection in both men. Both from complete different backgrounds and both from complete different approaches to performing. Yet, they did it all. Between the two of them, you would never have to see another performer in your life. Mm-hmm. And it was a great, great experience. Very, very influential on my life.
How are you feeling now?
I feel marvelous.
Because,
how do I look?
Oh, you look terrific.
Not the truth. Handsome?
You look fine.
Robert Redford's in big trouble.
That's right. Especially with that little red thing in your lapel, the Legion of
Honor.
You bet.
Right? He ain't got it.
But most people who undergo heart surgery have never been in a hospital before. You had seen heart operations. You worked with Michael DeBakey as an observer. You knew the mechanics of it. Did that in any way make it easier for you, or were you just terrified?
It's the worst thing I could have done. Right. I went into catatonic state of shock. Why? Because when they said, this is what's going to have to happen to you.
You knew.
I knew where every instrument is on the table. I know they open your chest with a Black & Decker. They open the chest some 12 inches with retractors. And I said, you want me to tell you to take me in there and do that? No way. And he leaned over and he said, you got 10 minutes to live. You better sign it.